In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's reading from the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah speaks on behalf of God the Father, and he says, "Behold, I will gather them from all the countries to which I drove them in my anger, in my wrath, and in my great indignation. I will bring them back to this place, and I will make them dwell in safety." A question presented to us in this reading is whether or not God the Father, is a wrathful and vengeful God. Certainly, Christ came preaching the message that God is love, and that we can reach out to him and call him Abba, Father. But this is directly opposite what we have just read today from the prophet Jeremiah. Or so it would seem. In the Orthodox faith, we believe that God does not change. Scripture instructs us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How is it possible, then, that the prophet Jeremiah portrays God as a vengeful and wrathful God, while Christ portrays the Father as a loving Father? If, in fact, God is unchanging, he cannot be vengeful yesterday and loving today. So at first glance, it seems on this point, Scripture is in conflict with itself. If God cannot change, it would seem that he could not be vengeful in Jeremiah and loving in the Gospel. There was once a young girl, her name was Susie, and she lived with her parents and her two brothers. She was 7 years old, and she had a small pink bicycle with a white basket that hung from the handlebars. She loved to ride around the neighborhood with her favorite doll in the little white basket. At the edge of the neighborhood was a large, older brick home. The home was surrounded by a beautiful garden that was immaculately maintained. It was obvious that the home had existed prior to the construction of the rest of the neighborhood because it was quite stately, quite beautiful. The brick home and the surrounding land had passed from one generation to the next, and now it belonged to the last remaining members of the family. In the garden behind the home, there was a hedgerow maze with twists and turns and dead ends. In one corner, there was a small pond with fish and turtles. In another corner, there was a small miniature city with houses and stores, a tiny little church, a post office. In another corner, there was a beautiful cascading fountain. As Susie rode her bike by that house, she would slow down and daydream about being able to play in such a wonderful garden. Susie's parents had warned her, however, never to set foot within the wrought iron fence that surrounded the property. She was told that the garden was absolutely off limits. One Saturday morning, Susie was at home with her brothers and her father, as her mother had left to do the weekly grocery shopping. Susie asked her father if she could ride her bike, and her father agreed. As she was riding around the neighborhood, she passed in front of the large brick home. This time, the front gate was open. She slowed her bike. This was the moment Susie had dreamed about. She'd always wanted to see the garden up close. So she thought to herself, well, maybe just a quick look won't hurt. Susie leaned her bike against the wrought iron fence and went in. Indeed, the garden was every bit as wonderful as Susie had imagined. Everywhere she looked, there was something new and interesting to see. Then she saw the entrance to the maze, and without hesitation, Susie ran head first into the maze. About that time, her mother was returning from grocery shopping. As she neared the brick house in her car, she saw Susie's bike leaning against the wrought iron fence, and her heart began to beat faster and faster. She got out of the car and immediately yelled, "Susie! Susie, where are you?" She ran through the gate and back to the garden, all the time yelling, "Susie! Susie, where are you?" And then, to her great relief, a small voice came from the middle of the hedgerow maze saying, "Here I am, Mommy." When they returned home, Susie's mother and father were both talking to her in a very loud voice. They sounded angry. They were scolding her for being disobedient. They told her she could not ride her bike for 2 weeks and that she could not have dessert or treats during that same time. Susie thought to herself how mean and horrible her parents were. It wasn't fair that they wouldn't let her play in such a wonderful garden. But what Susie didn't know was that the garden was located over an old mine shaft. The occupants of the house had sent out warnings to all the neighbors because one of their own children had fallen through a hole that developed in the garden and had been severely injured. You see, brothers and sisters, in very much the same way, our Father gives us rules to live by, not to harm us, but to help us live better lives, to keep us safe. And in Jeremiah, we see that he ends that phrase with, "I will make them dwell in safety." God wants us to have good and full lives. He wants us to live in safety. But when we disobey God, we suffer the consequences of our own sin. We may perceive these to be natural consequences, or we may perceive them to be vengeful acts, wrathful acts of God the Father. But what we perceive is what matters, because it is our perception that allows us to classify these consequences as wrath or as love. Hebrews 12:6 tells us that God chastises those that he loves, but he does so in order that we may live holy and happy lives. Susie's parents did not punish her because they hated her. No, they loved her very much. They punished her so that she would not return to the garden and place herself in danger again. Listen to these words written by St. Anthony the Great. God is good, dispassionate, and immutable. Now, someone who thinks it's reasonable and true to affirm that God does not change may well ask how, in that case, is it possible to speak of God as rejoicing over those who are good and showing mercy to those who honor him, while turning away from the wicked and being angry with sinners? To this it must be answered that God neither rejoices nor grows angry, for to rejoice and to be offended are passions. Nor is he won over by the gifts of those who honor him, for that would mean that he is swayed by pleasure. It is not right to imagine that God feels pleasure or displeasure in a human way. He is good, and he only bestows blessings and never does harm, remaining always the same. We men, on the other hand, if we remain good through resembling God, are united to him. But if we become evil through not resembling God, we are separated from him. By living in holiness, we cleave to God, but by becoming wicked, we make him our enemy. It is not he that grows angry with us in an arbitrary way, but it is our own sins that prevent God from shining within us and expose us to the demons who punish us. And if through prayer and acts of compassion we gain release from our sins, this does not mean that we have won God over and made him change, but that through our actions and our turning to God, we have cured our wickedness and so once more have enjoyment of God's goodness. Thus, to say that God turns away from the wicked is like saying that the sun hides itself from the blind. Brothers and sisters, indeed, God is love. God is love from all eternity, and he can never change. We have been warned of the consequences of sin. We have been told that he will chastise, but that he does so out of love to protect us from further sin. What we as feeble humans may perceive as his anger or his wrath is in truth his great and unwavering love for each of us, his undying zeal for our salvation. May our Lord Jesus Christ grant us the grace to perceive God's unwavering love for us in all of our sufferings and trials, and to put away every false notion of God as a God of wrath. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.